Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst, friendsoffantasybenefits.com.
Joining me on this episode is Derek Cardy of RotoGrinders and ESPN.com. Derek, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
I'm super excited to have you on. We're going to talk about kind of, I think, the most pressing issue. For a while, it was like, what are sites going to classify Shohei Ohtani as? But now we're moving into a new controversy, a new thing that could be throwing people curveballs, and that's the humidor being put into Chase Field in Arizona. But before we get to that, I want to just remind everybody where you could be reached on social media, and then give you a chance to kind of plug all your work, because you do a lot of great things in the industry.
I appreciate it. Mostly on Twitter, at Derek Cardy. I'm going to be starting up an Instagram this year, I think Derek T. Cardy, so if you want to throw me a follow there, that'll get started soon. But mostly on Twitter.
Nice, nice. And then you work at RotoGrinders, ESPN, and you are the mind behind the bat. So why don't you tell people a little bit about just kind of all those things? We'll dive into the bat a little bit later.
Yeah, so I mean, I do work at ESPN and at RotoGrinders. I used to be on Baseball Tonight for a little while. Now it's online stuff, articles for ESPN. At RotoGrinders, you know, on Grinders Live, on their shows. And my DFS projection system, the bat, is over there. And that's kind of the, you know, my baby. That's my big project.
And we'll definitely dive into that, because that that has had some pretty amazing success. And so I want to give people kind of a heads up on where they can go to subscribe for that and why it's such a great program. But before we do that, remind everybody, you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. I'll throw all the plugs in later via a little drop-in, so we don't have to worry about doing any of the advertising today with you, because I'm just super excited to talk about this humidor issue. I had been kind of, you know, brushing it off as kind of being an overblown thing, but the new data that is coming out little by little and really hit us all on the night of labor a couple nights ago is really amazing and interesting, and I think could really change the landscape, especially for hitters and pitchers who play in Arizona. So let's start with kind of just the basics. How do the humidors themselves affect the balls?
Okay, so yeah, you kind of said, like, you were brushing it off initially, like, this might be a little thing. Like, I just want to start off and say, this is not a little thing. This is not something we should ignore. This is going to be huge. This is going to have an enormous impact, and everyone in fantasy needs to be accounting for this, or else they're just doing it wrong. So how a humidor affects a baseball, like, the simplest way to put it is, the humidor, even though, like, it kind of sounds like humidity, it doesn't have anything to do with, like, the atmosphere or the air in the park. It has to do with the balls themselves. The balls are stored in a chamber at a constant temperature and humidity. At a higher humidity, the ball absorbs more water. When the ball absorbs more water, its weight increases, its bounciness decreases, and so when the bat hits the ball, it's not going to be hit as hard. The velocity off the bat is lower in these conditions. And so that's kind of like the very basic science behind it.
Okay. What are the effects that we saw when they put them in Colorado? Because, I mean, that's really our biggest sample, is the fact that Colorado put one in years ago.
Yeah, and that's kind of great for this scenario, because we already have some data on what happened when a humidor was put in a major league ballpark. And there are some people who will say, like, oh, you know, Colorado has a humidor and it's still a hitter's park. It's still the best hitter's park in baseball. Like, it's not going to have any effect in Arizona. I think one of, like, the Arizona executives actually, like, kind of said, like, it didn't really have a big effect in Colorado. Like, it's not going to be that big of a deal. No, not the case at all. If you look at what happened in Colorado, the effect was massive. The difference is that Colorado was such, like, just a crazy hitter's park to begin with, that it remained, you know, a very, very good hitter's park after the fact. You know, WOBA decreased by 5% when Coors added a humidor. Batting average decreased by 7%. BABIP decreased by 7%. Strikeouts went up 1%. Home runs went down by 22%, which is huge.
Yeah, that's a pretty drastic drop. So are you expecting the effects to be more or less extreme in Arizona?
So from everything we can tell, it sounds like the effects are going to be even greater in Arizona. And that's because, so Coors Field, the average humidity in Coors Field over the past 5 years was 36%. And in their humidor, they store the balls at 50% humidity. So they're adding about 14% humidity to the balls, kind of, you know, adding that much extra weight, you know, and decreasing bounciness by that much to the balls. In Chase Field, their average humidity is much lower. It's only about 16%. So they're adding much more humidity to the balls in their humidor. They're also going to keep it at 50% in the humidor, they say. And so what should happen is the balls should absorb even more water than they're absorbing in Colorado. Their weight should get even heavier. Their bounciness should go down even further. And the exit velocity should go down even further than the balls that are struck in Colorado. And there's a great article at the Hardball Times from Dr. Alan Nathan, who's like the leading baseball physicist in the world. He's like phenomenal. And he estimated when the Coors Field humidor happened that the decrease would be about 25%, which is pretty much exactly what we saw. When he ran the numbers for Chase Field, he said it's probably going to be more like 37%, perhaps as much as 50% decrease in home runs in Chase Field, which is just insane.
Yeah, that is that's gigantic, and that could affect large parts of fantasy players from a hitting and pitchers perspective. I mean, obviously, hitters will lose some home runs, and pitchers are going to, that are going to be pitching in pitching in Chase on a regular basis are going to have a pretty nice advantage. Do you have a feel on which players you feel will be most affected?
So, I mean, it's going to be on the hitting side, like they're all going to be affected. There was a good article by Andrew Perpetua at Fangraphs where he kind of looked at Statcast data and found the guys who might be impacted the most. Like all the Arizona hitters are going to be affected. But he found that Jake Lamb could potentially be affected the most of all the hitters. So, like, I'm staying far away from Jake Lamb, but I'm also staying far away from Paul Goldschmidt. Like going fourth, I think, is his average ADP in NFBC leagues right now. Is just insane. I had no interest in him to begin with at that ADP. Now, like anyone who took him there, like good luck, your season might be done.
Yeah, that's I've been a big Paul Goldschmidt fan, and like don't get me wrong, I may be a little bit more optimistic just because he can do so many other things on the baseball field, you know, for fantasy in terms of, you know, hitting for a really nice average, stealing bases, so maybe just change a little bit of the profile that we expected from him. But fourth overall definitely becomes a pretty risky proposition if you've already had an early draft. From the pitching side, like, do you see Robbie Ray getting a huge boost, considering he can be kind of a little homer happy at times? Zach Greinke could be in for a big year because of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk about how it's going to hurt the hitters. It's going to help the pitchers by the same amount. So Arizona pitchers are going to get a huge boost from this. The guys who allow the most fly balls presumably will get the biggest boost because the biggest impact of the humidor, yes, it's going to impact BABIP, it's going to impact strikeouts just a little bit, but mostly it's going to impact home runs. And so the guys who are allowing the most fly balls are going to, in general, allow the most home runs. When you're depressing home runs, well, they're going to get the biggest impact from that. So a guy like Robbie Ray, who last year had, I think, the highest fly ball rate on the entire Arizona pitching staff, one would think he's going to get the biggest benefit here.
Yeah, and I was a big Robbie Ray fan before. This is definitely pushing him up my ranks, and I'm also a big Zach Greinke fan, and actually Zach Godley fan. I think I'm a big fan of the whole rotation now, especially with this news. It'll be interesting to see if he can, you know, calm down his home run rate, Robbie Ray's. That could, you know, take him to another level even after we saw such a fantastic year last year. He still had a subpar home run rate even in his breakout season. So definitely a guy that I'll be pushing up my ranks for sure. You know, let's talk about this from a DFS perspective, and then we'll kind of transition a little bit into the bat with that. You know, players usually try to target certain fields and certain environments when playing DFS. Do you see this really obviously you see this really changing the profile and what players are going to be able to do. do you think that DraftKings and FanDuel will be able to adjust really quickly with their pricing, or do you think that this is going to offer some really interesting buying opportunities early on in the season?
Yeah, I honestly have no idea how it's going to affect the pricing, mostly because I don't completely understand how their pricing algorithms work.
You and me both.
It's not like something they put out there, like, okay, yeah, this is what goes into it. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested to see, because theoretically we should see more expensive Diamondbacks pitchers and less expensive Diamondbacks hitters. Whether that's the case or not, I really don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we'll have to monitor. Let's transition away from the Humidor, unless you have any last thoughts on it.
No, just that, like, you know, best case scenario, even if all we get from Chase Field is the exact reduction that we saw in Coors, it's going to be a neutral park. If it's anything more extreme than that, which is what the physics suggest it should be, it's going to be a pitcher's park. It's going to be like the 10th best pitcher's park in baseball, potentially, you know, just based on the negative 37%, you know, home run reduction that Dr. Alan Nathan projects. If that happens, it's the 10th best pitcher's park in baseball this year.
Whew, that is a pretty drastic change. And
yeah.
those of you in keeper and dynasty leagues, these are some really big thoughts too, as you're starting to you know, figure out how you want to value guys going forward. This may be the time to try to sell Paul Goldschmidt or any of your dynasty assets before these effects really take a hold.
I would highly recommend it.
If you like betting, I have the deal for you. Eli Rosenfeld of Vertex Betting is one of the best in the business, and unlike many betting information sites, he gives away all his information for free. There's no risk, no signups, no money needed to get the best betting insight in the business. Go check out vertexbetting.com and see why it beats all other sites out there. And if you want to try out betting for the first time, click on the Bet Now link and sign up for MyBookie and or XBet. With a $45 deposit, you will get a $50 rebate from Vertex Betting. Just tell Eli from Vertex that Justin Mason sent you for a $50 rebate on a $45 deposit. All right, let's talk about the bat, because you have had a lot of success with it. It's gotten a lot of acclaim within the industry. So I want to ask first, you know, we have, you know, this is more a seasonal podcast in terms of seasonal long play, but I know a lot of people out there play DFS. I'm a big DFS guy. Does the bat work for just DFS, or can it be applied to season long?
So I've had a lot of people ask me about that. You know, can I use the bat for season long? And so this winter I developed a season long version of it. I'm still kind of figuring out how I'm going to get that out to people, but I'm definitely planning on it. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, putting out a season long version.
Awesome. That's really cool. I'm glad I asked that question, because that's,
yeah.
you know, that's something for me. I've always wondered, like, you know, not all the tools out in the DFS world really apply super strongly to season long, even though I think being a good DFS player makes you a better season long player and vice versa. So,
absolutely.
How does the bat work exactly?
So the bat works, the kind of the under the hood stuff with the bat is very similar to other, you know, projection systems that are out there, you know, Steamer, Zips, Pakoda. It works the same way. It uses the same sabermetric concepts, regression to the mean and multiple years and weighting and aging curves and all that kind of stuff. And then it also has some wrinkles that are very DFS specific. Like, context adjustments are a huge part of the bat. You know, it's going to account for, you know, the new context in Arizona, or Giancarlo Stanton, for example, or Christian Yelich. Christian Yelich is a great example. So, like, Christian Yelich last year played in a really difficult hitting environment. He played in Marlins Park, which is a really tough park for lefties. It's a terrible park for home runs. And so Christian Yelich, his numbers were depressed because of that. The bat looks at that. It says, okay, these are all the parks that Christian Yelich played in last year. A lot of them are Marlins Park, but all the road parks and everything else. And then it also does it for everything else. Like, okay, these are all the pitchers he faced. These are all the umpires he had. These are all the defensive players he hit against. These are all the catchers, like everything, all the weather conditions. And it looks at all of that and it says, okay, based on all of these contextual factors that Christian Yelich had to face, if we were to neutralize for all of those, this is how good Christian Yelich would be in a vacuum. And so based on all of that, we say, okay, Christian Yelich is this good overall. in a completely neutral environment. And then in DFS, we say, okay, today, Christian Yelich, you know, now he's with the Brewers. Today, he's in Miller Park, which is a great park for lefty power. You know, he's facing this pitcher, this bullpen, this defense, this catcher, whatever. This is exactly how well we should expect Christian Yelich to do based on all these contextual factors that are only relevant today. And that's kind of how the bat works. It finds the underlying talent level for everyone, and then it looks at all of these specific factors they're facing on a given day, and it comes up with a projection for them.
Wow, that's pretty in-depth and pretty amazing. I mean, obviously, this has a lot of advantages over programs similar to it, as I don't think that a lot of the other programs out there go that in-depth into it. Where can people go and get the bat if they're interested in purchasing it?
Yeah, it's going to be at RotoGrinders in the daily marketplace. Pre-sale should be starting up within the next week or two, I'm hoping. So yeah, I mean, I'm biased, but I kind of don't think anything else out there even comes close to the sophistication or the quality of the bat. You know, we've run accuracy tests on it and it's really accurate. You know, it beats Vegas lines. It's just, I really can't recommend it enough, but I am extremely biased.
You are, but you've had a lot of success with it, and I've heard a lot of people really, really talk it up, so definitely wanted to discuss that a little bit. Derek, thank you so much for joining me. Please let people know where you can reach on social media, and then give yourself all sorts of plugs because you deserve it. And those that don't know, I mean, Derek, you've won, what, Labor and Tout?
Yeah, I won Tout Daily this past year. I've won Labor a couple times. I've won a few other leagues. Good expert league track record. You can find me on Twitter at Derek Carty. Find the bat at RotoGrinders. You can find my work at ESPN. And yeah, good luck.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. Definitely follow Derek on Twitter and go out and subscribe to his stuff and get the bat, because it'll definitely give you an advantage, not just in DFS this year, but in season-long leagues as well, as Derek said. So thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.